Before I read scripture and begin the sermon for this morning, let me just say a word about those of us who are gathered here today. Henry McComb, who's sitting in the back, leaves for college Saturday. He'll go back to school up in upstate New York. He's a chemistry major. And before you get away, would you tell him how grateful you are that we have seen him this summer and how we wish him well and all God's good graces as he goes back to school. A somewhat regular attender is Karen Maxer, who's over here on your left. And she's been away from us because of knee surgery, and now she's ready to play pickleball already, and tennis and golf and all that good stuff. She's making good recovery, and Karen, we hope that recovery continues well. Let Karen know of your prayers. And for those Baptists who are here this morning, North Hills Community Baptist Church folks that I got to know when I was there for a year, and we're so glad that you've come to say hello and to be with us today. And to underline what our pastor just said a few minutes ago, there is food for everyone. And if you didn't bring anything, that's even better, because you get a free meal. And there's plenty of food. We'll share it together. Don't go to Wendy's. Come here. It's Fellowship Hall, just right next door. And we'd love to have all of our guests who are able to remain with us for food to following the service. And so our reading today, our readings, two of them, are quite a contrast. From the book of Leviticus, we are given the qualifications for someone to be a priest, to offer the sacrifices to God in the temple. And it's a pretty high standard. And then the New Testament reading, it's the lectionary reading for this Sunday, is about a woman who was anything but perfect. For 18 years, she was unable to stand up straight. So the contrast, listen for the contrast between the two. And so from the Torah, the book of Leviticus, these words. The Lord told Moses to say to Aaron, "No descendant of yours can ever serve as my priest if he is blind or lame, if his face is disfigured, if one leg is shorter than the other, if either a foot or a hand is paralyzed, if he is a hunchback or a dwarf, if an eye or his skin is diseased, or if his testicles have been damaged, these men may not serve as my priests and burn sacrifices to me. They may eat the food offerings presented to me, but they may not enter the sacred place or serve me at the altar. Remember, I am the Lord, the one who makes a priest holy." Moses told all of this to Aaron, his sons, and the people of Israel. And now a story about the bent woman who is anything but perfect.
Luke 13:10-17. On a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue leader said to the people, "There are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not the Sabbath." The Lord answered them, "You hypocrites, doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie your ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, who Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on a Sabbath day for what bound her?" When he said this, all his opponents were humiliated, but the people were delighted with all the wonderful things he was doing.
I read this week, someone was saying to preachers, when you get up to preach, don't read from the cookbook. Serve the meal. May the living bread, Jesus Christ, be our gift of nourishment and life this day. Let us pray. Oh God, we come here to find our life once again, to remember who we are, and once again to be transformed in the likeness of Jesus Christ, who calls us to faith this and every day. Amen. Well, I remember first grade, a couple of us boys sitting there, and behind us was this girl. And every once in a while we would turn and say to her that there was no Santa Claus. And we would keep saying it and keep saying it until she wet her pants and we watched the water drop from her chair onto the floor. Children can be so cruel. You're probably thinking right now, man, you should get down on your knees and ask God to forgive you for that. Don't worry. Many times. I can just imagine the cruelty, perhaps, of the children in that unnamed town that we heard about in our story today of the bent woman, as she made her way to get water in the evening, carrying a jug. The bent over woman. I imagine she was bent way over. Just imagine the children making fun of her. Look at me, I'm a bent woman. Look at me, all I can see is bugs. Look at me, I can't see anybody's face. Bent woman, bent woman. Children can be very cruel, but it's hard to outgrow cruelty. I can imagine that the adults of the village were also cruel, but probably a little more sophisticated with their cruelty. Instead of saying something to her that she could hear, they would just simply ignore her, make her invisible. So when they came into her presence, rather than to say something to her, they would look somewhere else. Oh, look at the bird over there. Look at the flowers. Look, anything but to look at her. She made people feel uncomfortable. I learned a new word recently, just a few weeks ago, and the word is othering. I don't know if you've ever heard that word before. I had never heard that word, but I learned it just a few days ago. Othering is the psychological process by which we deem other people different than what we are. That whatever condition they have, whether it's nationality, whether it was bodily disease, whatever it is, the othering is that process in which we distance and exclude and separate. They are different than us, than me. And so this bent woman was on the receiving end of a lot of cruelty and a lot of othering. And yet, on the appropriate day, on the day of worship, when people gathered out of their homes and the village and went into their place of worship on this specified day, the Sabbath day, she was there. Of course she was there. She knew that her only hope was in the strength and grace of God. Of course she was there. And maybe she heard the Torah read at some occasion when the reader would get up and read from this book of Leviticus about who is able to be God's priest, high servant. First of all, it has to be a man, check. It can't be anyone, according to Leviticus. Can't be anyone whose one leg is shorter than the other. It can't be anyone who has an eye problem. It can't be anyone who is a dwarf. It can't be anyone who is not fully complete. The incomplete person. Not acceptable. But she heard not only those words from the Torah, there were some other words too. There were these words in Leviticus about don't hold a grudge and don't ever take revenge. There were these words about love your neighbor as yourself. There were these words about treat the alien and the native born the same. The same. And she had to decide what her story was going to be, what her primary text was going to be. She had to decide whether she would claim these words that open love and let it pour into the world and through us into other people, or these words that excluded some. Both texts And she had to figure out which one will be my story. Of course, she was in worship on the Sabbath day. And don't you know that in this unnamed town, there appeared in the Sabbath day a man named Jesus of Nazareth, who was the teacher, the reader, the proclaimer that day. And when she came into the synagogue, Jesus saw her. His eyes focused on the bent woman who for 18 long years had not been able to stand, who had been an invisible person in the village and the recipient of cruelty of all manner of speaking. Jesus saw her, which would lead me to say that it's a very good thing if we see the people that Jesus is looking at. Jesus stops the teaching when he saw. When he took into his vision and let fall into his heart this unnamed, bent woman. And he stopped talking and he pointed to her. And the people began to say, he's calling you forward. He's pointing to you. He's telling you he wants you to come. And they make a way. And now the people that didn't want to look at her are all looking at her. They're watching her every step as she makes her way to where she was and makes her way to where Jesus was. Now, a very interesting thing happens here. If you listen carefully to the text, you'll see that he's going to cure her. Yes, he will do that. But before he does that, before he touches her, and a man doesn't touch a woman who's not a member of his family. You don't do that. But he's going to touch her, and therefore he's going to say to her, you belong to my family. But that's not yet. He's going to say something first. And what he says to her first is this. CEV translation makes it most plain. It says, you are now well. No, she's not. She's bent over. She can't stand. For 18 years, she's been looking at the ground. For 18 years, whenever she wept, nobody saw it because she had no face. Her face was to the ground. She was the bent woman. She was not whole. And Jesus says to her, you are now and always well. Why, of course she was. She's going to be called a name. We're going to learn her name a little bit in a moment or two. And her name is going to be Daughter of Abraham. That's going to be her name. Child. of God. For you see, when she was born, the image of God was stamped onto her soul. She is God's blessing and gift. And God's very image is upon her life, her soul, her mind, her heart. She is whole. She is well. She is acceptable before Jesus ever cures her. One out of every four or five of us is disabled. I'm disabled. I've got a bumper sticker on my car. Go out and look at my car. You'll see what it says. It says, "Disabled driver, please be patient." You would be surprised how many people happened to me yesterday. How many people come roaring up right behind me and they see, oh my goodness, he's disabled. And they begin to fall back. Give me a little bit of space. I'm disabled. They took a tumor out of my head 12 years ago, and I lost all of my hearing, and I lost half of my balance, and I can't drive a car. I can't drive a car more than 40 miles an hour. I can't do it. I don't have the balance, the ability to do that. I am one of the four or five disabled people in the land. Of course, those who are not disabled or broken some other way, we're all broken. Just can't see it all the time. I'm a child of Abraham. Before I had the tumor taken out of my head, I was well, I was God's. I had the image of God before the tumor, and now I bounce in, I fall over, I can't walk, I almost undid the communion table one Sunday. I bounce in, have to catch myself. I'm a disabled man. But I was a child of God the day I was born. And I carry the image of God. And so do you. And all of our disability and all of our brokenness and in all of the pieces that are jagged and rough. So Jesus says to the woman, before he cures her, you are well. You are whole. You bear the blessed, beautiful, lovely, wonderful, eternal image of God in your soul. And nobody can take it away. And nothing that ever happens to you will ever make you less than a full child, daughter of Abraham. And then he touches. And all of the power of love and grace in the universe flows through the hand of Jesus. And for the first time in 18 years, she is cured. She was whole. And now she's also cured. And all of the people of town, what do they do? What do they do? When she stands for the first time in 18 years, they begin with her, praising God. Praising God for God's wonder and God's power and love and God's healing. They begin to praise God. Except there were a few who grumbled. What's he doing healing people on the Lord's day? They didn't have their story straight. the bent woman had her story straight. You've come here today, all of you. You're here today to get your story straight, to make sure that not the words of exclusion and rejection become your story. The story of othering, in which people are not like you and not worthy as you are, not as good as you are. Get your story straight that all people, every person, there's no one person who is a burden. There are no burdens in God's kingdom. Just blessings. People who bear the image. A burden is something that holds us down. A burden that messes up the GMP. A burden is somebody who costs us money. A burden is someone we want to put away and lock the door and never see. There are no burdens. Get your story straight. In God's kingdom, there are no burdens. Only those who bear the beautiful, lovely, eternal image of God, stamped eternally on every soul. So I want you to turn to a neighbor or look at somebody right now, and I want you to say, I'm a child of Abraham, and so are you. And I want that person that you talk to say back to you, would you do this? I'm a child of Abraham, and so are you. Would you do that right now? Just do that to someone right now. And now I want you to take that word everywhere you go and to every person you meet. I'm a child of Abraham, and so are you. Amen.